Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara.
And this is the show where we pick a topic and we deep dive into it by way of the standard practice of a haul.
Today, we are going to be your personal haul gurus as we navigate the wild world of wellness cult leaders.
Woohoo! Wellness cult leaders.
My favorite kind of cults are wellness cults, probably because I was subjected to like a version of a cult as a teen by being sent to therapeutic boarding school, which was like all their practices were similar to some of the stuff we'll get into today. And I think like influenced some of the things that we'll talk about today. I have an affinity towards being fascinated by all this kind of stuff.
I too have a similar affinity, and that's because I've myself found one foot in the door to one or two yoga cults myself. So I relate, I see the allure, and I'm thankful that it didn't go the other way.
So first and foremost, I think you can't do a wellness cult leader haul without going to like the OG wellness influencer, may we say, and that would be Jim Baker, aka Father Yod of the Source Family,
which has to be hands down. The Source Family is one of my favorite documentaries to date. I've seen it so many times. I remember the first time I saw this documentary, I thought that could be me.
Oh yeah, I was like, this is incredible. I see nothing really wrong with this, and like seems fun and chill, and most people are having a pretty good time.
So basically, the Source Family was a community here in Southern California that Jim Baker started, and it was all centered around yoga, health food, mindfulness practices, and you basically just had to wear white. They wanted y'all to live together.
They lived in a big house in Los Feliz,
which looked really fun.
Yeah.
They ran a health food restaurant, which is an interesting through line with many of these hall subjects from today. It was called The Source Restaurant.
It was on Sunset.
It was also featured in a Woody Allen movie.
In Annie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they eat. He makes a joke, I think, about like alfalfa sprouts or something like that. But that looked like they literally just had hot people working at this restaurant, and that funded the entire cult operation. Since it was the 70s, they were doing a lot of psychedelics. And then, like every cult, they all entered a place of like fucking each other and having orgies. Some of them got pregnant and gave birth, but it seemed for the most part consensual.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory about the documentary.
It didn't seem like it went too sinister. Like everybody was there because they wanted to be there and they were all like down for the cause. But I think where I take pause and like the issue is with Jim Baker, and he had just like a really intense God complex. And that's where it gets a little tough when you're following someone who's so egomaniacal that they're believing their own bullshit.
I'm going to speak my dark truth right now, which is that I have a Father Yod kink.
Say more.
I think that Jim Baker's so hot. I think that he's hot as Father Yod, and he was hot as like a young veteran.
He also killed people.
Yeah. In the war.
With his
right?
bare hands, as the tale goes.
I know. Hot. He was like a tortured, big old, beefy, dangerous man with maybe a drinking problem who then became like a spiritual leader of sorts. And that's hot to me.
Yeah. And he was very charismatic.
Incredibly charismatic.
He had it factor.
Yeah. He was that bitch. And I would absolutely love to don like a linen shift dress, grow my hair really long, work at a vegan restaurant in the 70s. Sounds fun. Be called Sunflower Shane Halls. Whenever a cult leaves their home country, and I think in most American cults, when they leave America and then they go elsewhere,
where the mainland,
this technically is not leaving America, but the Source family relocated to Hawaii. And I just think a relocation is always something that if you're part of a group and like they call themselves a family and you're spending a lot of time with them and giving a lot of your money to them and you're fucking everyone in that group, and then the leader says we should now move to Argentina or somewhere.
Go elsewhere.
Yeah, I think you should be like, whoa, am I in a cult? Like, this seems weird. I think things upon relocation always go a little haywire.
Yeah, so they got to Hawaii and basically Hawaiians were not having it. They were like, we can see right through this. This is the land of people coming with their cults and we've seen it before. And they wouldn't employ anybody and it just like wasn't working. But they persisted.
I love that Hawaiians were like, not you colonizers. Like, get the fuck out, weirdos. And like, so they had a really tough time. And I think it really hit Father Yod hard. So he took to like jumping off cliffs and like parasailing to kind of soothe himself. And then he had a really bad hang gliding accident that was fully documented. He was also, I guess everyone would just tape everything that he ever said and
did. He was basically Kanye.
Yeah. And he was also a bit Keith Raniere, who we'll get into later on. But like, this is a running thing where people, and I say this with like self-awareness as a podcaster, I may be participating in this too to some extent, but they audio taped his entire death and then they kind of play it in the documentary.
And it's so fascinating because he sort of thinks that he can make this jump because his God complex is so ripe that he jumps, the wind does not catch as expected, and doesn't he almost die and then doesn't die and then it happens again?
I think so. I think he was like dealing with this a lot, and like even there's something like, it's not funny, but listening to everyone's reactions and like their sadness over like they're in a state of disbelief that he's like hurt and people are wailing, and then it's just wild. And then he eventually does succumb to death. And then everyone was like, fuck, like we're in Hawaii now. Like, what do we do? And they kind of like tried to keep things going for a bit, but then it mostly went out their separate ways. And
yeah,
many of them just stayed in Hawaii and like chilled.
And then a lot of them, the main people, end up becoming very successful in life, which I think speaks well to the ideologies
of the Source family.
Exactly.
I think that's like my biggest takeaway. I was like waiting for it to get like really dark or horrible. And it seemed like for the most part, everyone was like, I made a lot of friends for life. And like, ultimately it was like a fun memory.
We wore some kooky costumes. We took some psychedelics.
We changed our names.
Participated in some sex, some group sex at times. It always goes to group sex. It just is.
It's bound to go there. But watch like tomorrow, like a new documentary drops. It's like the horrors of the Source family.
For sure.
But like, to me, this seems like the best cult around.
It's mellow.
It's an A+.
In the world of cults.
Yeah. We will wear white. You need to have long hair and like change your name to Lightning Bolt Shane Halls.
I would have been in this.
Yeah.
Easily.
This is an A+, hands down.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to get into like yogis and yoga cults, which is a learning area for me because I realize I don't know a lot about yoga cults.
It's like if you're bringing a sequence of movements to America, you also are a sex pest. And that's just how it goes.
But it also is an interesting reflection of like American culture, because it seems like a lot of these like yoga cult leader guys from like India come to America and it's like, oh, I have this whole new thing going. And then like Americans are like, it's that exoticism of like, oh my God, this person has like dark skin essentially. Yeah. And they're speaking of like Eastern traditions. Like they must know what they're talking about. And like now, like I'm more interested. And that's kind of like another form of racism or like colorism in a way.
Completely. And it's, I mean, I'm going to tip my hat to Yogi Bhajan for understanding that and leaning all the way in.
Honestly, like if that is the grift that you need to, if you see a gap in the marketplace to grift in that way, then like by all means.
So he's the founder of 3HO, which stood for Healthy, Happy, Holy Organization. And he was known for bringing Kundalini yoga to the Western world.
I like the name 3HO.
Yeah. It sounds kind of like a pop group.
What is Kundalini yoga? Kundalini, I don't think I've ever done a Kundalini yoga class.
Like really intense breath work. But there is a science behind it of the mantras and the way you control your breath, that it does shift how your brain works and can make you feel really great, which is a positive thing. But there's a lot of like capitalism wrapped up in the 3HO business model. Have you heard of Yogi Tea?
I certainly have.
That is owned by 3HO.
Crazy.
Also owned by 3HO is Accol Security, which was a huge security company. Basically, how 3HO worked was if its members own businesses, they would give their businesses over to 3HO. So that's how 3HO owned the security company that ended up doing like $1 billion in federal contracts for guard courthouses, embassies, and military bases. Like it was a huge company. And then on top of that, when things started to go south and realizing that like these business dealings, people claimed that he was laundering money and all of that, all the people that worked under him ended up going to jail.
Where did he go?
He left the country.
Smart.
Yeah. And then a big thing was like how demeaning he was towards women. They would say he exalts women and the divine feminine, but then his teachings were that men were able to beat and rape their wives. Like he would be like, if you were raped, there was like some subconscious energy that you're putting out that welcomed that, and that nobody who's getting raped like didn't put that out.
Whoa.
So a little bit of like a controversial POV. And then he was married, but then way later on it came out that he was having sex with a ton of people within the community. And then in 2020 a book came out called White Bird in a Golden Cage, My Life with Yogi Bhajan, which ended up covering a bunch of accusations, including but not limited to sexual battery, rape, fraud, and child molestation.
Yikes.
Yeah, it gets really dark. And all the while, you have all of these people who are like disciples of Kundalini with his picture on the wall, sort of deifying him.
Are they like Michael Jackson deniers where they're like, that didn't happen?
I think so. I mean, we're going to get into Guru Jagat in a moment. Mm-hmm. And that's really...
That was one of
them. The main point there.
The gatekeeping around like an ancient tradition in quotes or whatever, or like gatekeeping around exercise is very cult leader.
Yeah.
Like I'm just thinking of like Tracy Anderson right now, or like, you know, I feel like anyone with their own brand of like exercise is also like a bit cult leader adjacent.
Anybody who claims to have the answers, I have learned to be really suspect of.
They're trying to get at your bank account.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with being in the wellness industry as long as I was, I started That's a Retrograde in 2014, ended it in 2021. That's like a considerable amount of time in which wellness went from rather fringe or a little bit niche, if you will, into like a really mainstream market. And I think what like really, really turned me off was I found that wellness became just like a rebranding of the diet industry, and that put me off. But also the fact that there were so many people claiming to have the answers and all you had to do is pay them and they'll tell you. I mean, it's like truly grift as old as time, repackaged in the name of self-betterment. And it just felt really gross.
It's also interesting that like two people could subscribe to the same thing and have completely different experiences out of it.
Right.
One person could sign up for Kundalini and follow this Yogi Bhajan and have like a life altering experience where they do come out like a better person. And then another person can enter, lose their money in their business
and
get raped
get and sexually like- assaulted. Yeah. And I think that that people, you have to have that first experience in order for the latter experience to be able to happen. Like you need a majority of followers who are going to listen to and eat up everything you're saying and be completely devoted so that you can then take advantage of a small sector.
Do you think that the majority of people that sign up for these like movements, I guess, do you think that they have like, because I know like the best cult victim is someone who's at a rock bottom or at like a crossroads in life or like particularly vulnerable because they've gone through trauma or feeling like they're searching for something or feeling like a there's a void they have to fill. Do you think that that's like the common thread for everyone, or there's like some people who are just like, I'm a seeker and I like doing these poses and like having breath happen and like that's fun for me.
Breathing is fun.
Breathing is fun and who knew I just like I needed a hobby.
It's mixed. And then I think where people like go down the rabbit hole is when they're trying to fill a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so not being able to look within yourself but looking outwards to somebody who claims to have the answers and buying that narrative is I think when I've seen it like take a left.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody's different. And I know that people who teach Kundalini, who are devoted to Kundalini, who love the practice and it has been a huge asset in their lives. So I'm not knocking it, but I think it's important. Like I was taking Kundalini classes. I was going to Rama Institute. I was doing the whole thing. I had no idea about the accusations against Yogi Bhajan, and his picture was on the wall. And that was when you find that out and you're like, wait, why are we at least just not acknowledging that? Okay, I think it's very easy to say this man brought this teaching to the States and brought it to this institute and helped form this, but we don't align with A, B, and C. But that was never done. And that's where I had a huge problem.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Because it's like, who are you protecting?
It's like, I can say I love Raquel Levis, but I don't align with some of her decisions.
Exactly, and that's not
hard. I find her a fascinating character, and I want to know more. Let's move on. Well, first, rating.
Yogi Bhajan, to me, I listened to a podcast that I don't remember the name right now, but I'm going to link it in the show notes that really got in. Oh, it was Imperfect Paradise. LA Mag did it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hear that and they interview Pamela Dyson, who wrote this book that came out in 2020, I can't help but give this man a failing grade. It's just so the abuse of power that he built his entire persona on is just like one of those things that's like cautionary tale.
Yeah, that and like the darkness of being like, I'm now going to create an empire on the side that really only benefits me with like a yogi tea and like a securities business.
Yeah,
is like,
and I think if
you're wrong for
the
that.
People that are working under you end up imprisoned, we got to look into that.
Mm-hmm. It's always sex pestery and financial mismanagement.
Always. Through line. And a cafe.
I'm going to give him a D-, and just only what didn't move it into the F is like the Kundalini of it all.
Yeah. Which if anyone hasn't tried Kundalini and is interested in it, by all means, like find a class, do it. It definitely, you leave feeling amazing.
I want to try it. I always was like curious about the Rama Institute, but then I was like, who is going to, I cannot wake up at 3 a.m. to go to this class.
Well, Rama no Ram. As the Instagram account is titled. So Rama Institute was based off of Yogi Bhajan's teachings. As I said, his picture was prominently displayed in the classroom. And the founder of Rama Institute was Guru Jagat. So she claimed that he basically chose her to then continue his teachings in the United States. That's a little bit of a murky water in terms of that tale, because some people have come forward and said that they never met and that that timeline actually like doesn't match up very well.
So she kind of piggybacked on the initial grift, which is like, is very enterprising of her, because his grift is essentially like, I'm the only person who knows this specific style of yoga. If you pay me, I'll teach it to you. And then everyone's like, oh my God, like this guy is a fucking genius. But then she was like, well, this guy's gone. He's what, fled to wherever? He left the United States.
And passed away.
Yeah. So what I like is that she saw this gap where she's like, you know what? If I say that I studied under this guy who's like, for all intents and purposes, disappeared, he's not going to weigh in to like bust my lie, then I can be the next like gatekeeper of this thing I really love and then do my thing with it.
And so I know I talked about this. I think it was in our celebrity wine hall, perhaps.
Mm-hmm, I think so. You've talked about it before a little bit.
So Guru Jagat, aka Katie, she was
Katie Griggs.
Yep.
Who was like the, literally the name of someone you'd go to high school with. Yeah.
And she sort of, her parents talk about how she always wanted to be on the stage. She tried her hand at various things. And then yoga was really where she was able to find her pull. And she had various names, landed on Guru Jagat.
She was like making her parents call her Guru Jagat, yeah. Which
and
is a flex.
She was such a dynamic speaker. Like her classes were fun, mellow, relatable. I remember she was talking about like Beyonce music videos and talking about like YouTube deep dives that she'd done on Taylor Swift. Like she was really like pop culture yoga. It was fun to go to her classes. And she also was really amazing to me and my previous show. We recorded That's a Retrograde out of the Rama Institute for almost a year.
Wild.
And it was so generous of her. And she was, oh, we had her on That's a Retrograde. We were on her show called Reality Riffing. And, you know, like I had like a nice professional relationship with her. And she had created a huge community. It was known that like Alicia Keys was like a huge supporter and fan of her work. And Guru Jagat started a clothing line and there was a write-up in Women's Wear Daily. She had a book that was hugely popular. She was like the face of Kundalini and people were loving it.
I was always really looped out on her whole deal. And then I remember when she passed away, I kept seeing all these celebrities, like Jennifer Aniston was like, did a whole post. It was like, I will miss you so much. And like people all over Instagram were like, oh my God, Guru Jagat, RIP. And I was like, who is this lady calling themselves Guru Jagat, some white woman wearing a turban? Like she's maybe one step away from white dreadlocks vibes, and everyone is really sad about her dying.
She was great until, to be quite honest, during 2020 and during COVID, she started very much platforming the likes of David Icke and a lot of really controversial thinkers and questioning the validity of COVID. And it just took this turn where to have a platform that she has with the level of notoriety that she has within a community that she created to then be having these, being very vocal about these controversial views, it was sort of like a sharp left.
She got her ass canceled.
Yeah. And then, as I remember it, there was an article that came out in Vice that was detailing all of this, along with the fact that a large number of her former employees and people who were involved in the Rama community started an Instagram account called Rama Wrong, where they then put on blast the fact that she was terrible to work for, underpaid her staff, was egomaniacal, she was awful to the people who helped make her community tick and helped keep it going. And she was accused of being a cult leader. She was accused of making people's lives miserable and, you know, leading people to have like severe trauma therapy after they left the community. And it was bad. It was not a good look. It was very not the brand of what was being projected. And, you know, all of the celebrity following and all of these people who are singing her praises, to then have this curtain pulled back on like what was really going on behind the scenes was bad. So this all came out in this Vice article. And then 3 weeks later, after this Vice article happened, and I remember, you know, like talking about it with friends of mine, we were all like, are you seeing this article? This is wild. Like,
did she say anything about the article?
She never gave
like a public statement. Nope. Or anything.
She never commented on it, which I guess is,
that's a tactic.
In hindsight, it's smart.
Yeah.
And then I want to say it was like within the next 3 weeks, she had hurt her ankle and then died of a pulmonary embolism due to that ankle injury.
Didn't she like fly? She was advised not to fly, and then she flew, and then
she had a blood clot, and then she passed away.
That's the wildest twist of all of it, and almost feels like destined or something like that.
Yeah,
there's something about like I'm like, there's something about getting canceled and then dying immediately afterwards,
and then never having to speak to it,
which uncancels you.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate way to uncancel yourself.
It's really the right move.
It is, to die at like peak cancellation. And then Jennifer Aniston does a RIP to you Instagram post.
Not no.
She kind of on top after it all was said and done.
It really worked in her favor.
It did. I was like, honestly, slay.
It's really strange thing though, when there's someone who you've adored and has been nothing but kind and generous,
you find out like a dark element of their life.
You find that out, and yeah, I don't love it. It made me sad.
I give her a B+ because she really did that.
She did that for sure.
She's a cautionary tale on many levels, but also someone who stayed winning and ultimately went out saying "fuck the haters."
She really did.
So like,
yeah, work. I think, and if you're a woman on this list, you're automatically getting a.
You can bump. Do really whatever you want.
You know what? I gotta give her an A.
I love that.
I just I'm feeling a little bit
misty-eyed, yeah. Generous.
Yep. Nostalgic.
Like, part of me is like, did this person also say like, "I'll show them"?
Well, there was obviously cut to a million people claiming that she faked her own death, or that, you know, just to avoid cancellation. There was a whole thing, and then Vanity Fair covered it, and they were like, no, we have the death certificate. Like, this is what happened. We've spoken to her mother. Like, this is the situation.
A faking your own death would be the ultimate twist. I would also just love to have a medium reach out to her and be like, what's up?
But I also want to say justice for all the people who were Rama wronged.
Yeah, that sucks, obviously.
We hate that.
Okay, on to the next. Another yogi, of course.
Of course. This is a yogi-heavy segment.
It really
is. We'll get out of it, but there's some yogis.
We can't cover the wellness cult leaders without talking about Bikram Chaudhry.
Wow. Yeah, I actually have friends who studied under him. And he was an intense guy who brought Bikram yoga, which is a heated yoga that involves 26 yoga postures. And he brought that to LA.
LA is the perfect place to start a cult.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of like traumatized
seekers.
People that have like main character syndrome.
Away from their family.
Yeah. and they're like wanting answers and wanting meaning out of life. Yeah, it's a great, it's a hotbed of cult activity.
I can feel the cult energy. Just
who are we need to like do another episode on like what are the current LA cults?
Definitely.
And because I'm also
This one's sort of curious. Like a trip down memory lane.
Yeah,
there's some current ones that we'll get to, or more current ones that we'll get to, but I'm sure that there's like new ones percolating like as we speak that must be halt.
I took a Bikram class in Chicago because I lived kind of close to a Bikram studio, and it was wild. I was like, this is not a sustainable thing that I could do like multiple times a week, just because it was like so hot and like sweaty, and it was such an intense class.
I love a heated room.
I love a heated room now, but at the time I was just like, oh my God, this is like insane. Also, I think I was doing like a 6 p.m., which is just Ooh. Not my hour to shine in a workout. I'm really like a morning person. Mm-hmm. But I remember one time I did like a back bend. I think it was like a camel pose or something. And it was like, I just immediately started crying. And have you ever experienced one of those releases in yoga class? Yeah, that's like the most insane thing.
That's basically what like motivates me to do yoga, is just to be like surprise cry.
I love a surprise cry. It happens the most.
It doesn't happen often, but when it does, I'm like, oh, then
there we
I'm
go.
Alive.
Yeah, like cracks up. And I was like, oh my God, this is like wild. He was known to like sit on a big kind of overstuffed chair throne with like air conditioning shooting out directly on him in his like underwear or like a loincloth while he taught this class, which also is like very a smart move on his part, because A, it's so fucking hot in there, but B, it's also like gives the illusion of vulnerability by being almost nude.
Mm-hmm.
But then the illusion also of like the utmost authority, because almost nude, plus a throne equals like king or deity. Plus, as a sex pest, you can really get up on people. Yeah. And like rub your body onto their body under the guise of like giving a modification.
It's a hotbed, no pun intended,
mm-hmm.
for just really living your truth.
So he was a sexual harasser, had some legal problems, but he also got really rich, right?
Really rich. He was known for driving around in a Rolls Royce. These yoga guys love a Rolls.
Did Bajan have a Rolls?
Yep.
Look, I mean, I think that the universe does not want you to like
be poor.
Struggle. Yeah. If you're like, if you can afford the Rolls and you want the Rolls, I think you should get the Rolls. I think that we place too much, this is ODD vibes, but I think we place too much merit in like the appearance of struggle. So like to say that like this person is untrustworthy, or they're like a better person because they drive a Honda Civic versus like this person who's like clearly corrupt because they drive a Rolls Royce, is like, that's not, I don't subscribe to that.
You can be both. Can be LVP like, drives a Rolls.
I know. One of the greats. One of the great drifters of Los Angeles.
Look what she's doing for all the dogs.
Yeah, I just think like, this is LA. What do you want?
Yeah, people want to be car rich. I personally have decided not to be car rich.
I also made the decision recently to not be car rich and I'm looking forward to just like putting the car payment money that will end this January.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, now I can just spend that on injections.
So basically in 2017, Bikram filed for bankruptcy after being ordered to pay millions of dollars in damages due to a sexual harassment lawsuit. And then he fled.
They always flee.
So after the court judgment in one of the sexual harassment cases, there were efforts to extradite Bikram to the United States from abroad to face his charges. However, the outcome remains subject to legal processes and international relations.
So he kind of is just still at large elsewhere. A lot of the Bikram studios took his name off of their studio name, But every once in a while, you'll see a studio that still goes by a Bikram yoga studio. And then you're always just like, damn.
It's a real callback.
Yeah.
So he basically is still subject to the civil suits alleging sexual assault and discrimination against racial issues, because he apparently was racist as well. And in 2017, a court awarded $7 million to his former lawyer, who gained control of the yoga business when he fled to India without paying her. And since then, apparently, he's training yoga teachers outside of the US and in Spain and Mexico. But if anyone's seen the documentary, that lawyer basically was the whistleblower for the whole situation. She had come over from India to handle his enterprises, essentially. And then she was privy to like all these accusations coming her way. And then she was like, oh, these are all real.
Yuck.
Major yuck. And yeah.
Again, I give him an F because I really never took to Bikram.
I give it an F just because like when multiple rape victims are coming forward, it's you gotta get out of here, my guy. You deserve to lose your roles. Roll right out.
Yeah. Also, it's like not that creative of a yoga. It's not like Kundalini where you're like, this isn't even my thing. It's just like ancient and I'm
right
helping to share it with you guys. This is like, I did this thing.
He's like, I'm cranking the heat.
I'm just gonna turn up the heat. It's like doing yoga in a sauna. I'm like, what's special about that?
It gives the illusion of that you're working harder than you actually are.
Yeah,
it's which is why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not dazzled by this guy. I don't think I would have like been enamored by him, so I'll also give him an F.
Tony's doing a downward dog.
The original downward dog. Okay, I think
we're going to switch gears.
We're switching gears for a sec.
We're going to go back into a space of food-based wellness.
If you've got a vegan cafe, some sort of cult-like behavior is not far behind.
No. And of course, we're talking about the one, the only Cafe Gratitude.
Which, this one was a little bit of like newer info for me. I knew that there was some sort of correlation with Landmark Forum, but I didn't realize that they were so deeply intertwined.
So I have a friend that's from the Bay Area who was telling me about Cafe Gratitude. And then when it opened in LA, he was like, we have to go. Like this, like he told me all the tenets of it. And I was like, I'm in 100%. Let's do this. Cause like also just from, I talked about this on past episodes, but I was always obsessed with like raw food restaurants and those were such a thing. I pray that they come back. I think that we're due for like the next revolution.
You're like Sam Jones vibes.
Yeah. I really need, really, really need a raw food. Where is it? Like I needed it yesterday. So with Giuliano's Raw closing, and that was like always my go-to raw food milkshake, I was seeking another raw milkshake.
You were a seeker.
I was a seeker. I needed a vegan or raw milkshake to fill the void. Smash got to Cafe Gratitude opening on Larchmont. They have a delicious like
mint chip
shake.
Oh yeah,
it's the one.
So good.
It's so good.
I don't even like mint or chip.
I don't, but I like it one way, but that is an incredible milkshake. Cafe Gratitude is a place where you have to order everything via affirmation.
I hate the gimmick part of it.
It's really lame.
You have to be like, I am satiated, I am divine, I am,
you can't be like, I want the vegan
embarrassed
burrito.
Yeah,
no, yeah, you have to be like, I am exuberant.
But the food's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like aside from the preferred ordering style of affirmations, the food's actually delicious, and I love going there, and I always have.
It's really good. I haven't been there in so long. I need to revisit.
I get it Postmated a lot because they have like deals.
They have good, it holds up well on Postmates. Yeah, the food is good. The milkshakes are good. And it was a real, it's still on Larchmont.
Yep.
It still is going strong. But I guess that they are somewhat in bed with Landmark Forum.
So Landmark Forum, which if you guys don't know, it's a self-improvement communication course that it's like an education course that basically you take like 3 days and you go to a hotel by the airport and you come back like a changed human. And I know many people who have done it. And then there is sort of like a Ponzi scheme aspect to it where you're supposed to like bring new recruits. But it's one of those things that I think can be really helpful if you're working through something and you kind of like take this extended weekend, you go through the program and you can come back just like a little bit better than you were started, which I'm all for, but you also can't go like all in.
Yeah. So this, I dated a guy who did a landmark forum in Dallas, I want to say, like, and I had just recently graduated from therapeutic boarding school. It was maybe like a year and a half graduated. And then he was like, I'm going to go do this. And when I learned about it, I was like, they're literally doing many of the exercises that like we would have to do in these workshops. And I was like, why would anyone like willingly sign up and like put themselves and pay to like go through this? It's a very special, you have to be battling some demons.
Definitely.
To go to an airport hotel and like pillow pound in front of strangers. And I say this as a demon battler who's pillow pounded many a time.
I know that, for instance, like Lululemon is very pro landmark and yeah. A lot of the company culture is wrapped up in to the tenants of landmark.
Yeah. I can't imagine it's as intense as like the shit that they had us doing at Cascade, but like a lot of it is similar, but I guess more around like problem solving and like imagine asking someone to like go to LAX and stay close by there for 3 days at the Marriott.
So the founders of Cafe Gratitude are really into Landmark Forum. And they say that it really influences their approach to business. I actually, as I'm thinking of this, I did a live episode, not a live episode, but we recorded like on the scene at Cafe Gratitude and had interviewed the founders, the Engelharts.
What did they have to say for themselves?
Wow, this is so long ago, but it was, from what I remember, just sort of like the birth of Cafe Gratitude and the concept. And it started with their parents and in the Bay Area, and then they brought it to Los Angeles. And it was just like, I love a good entrepreneurial tale. So it was really focusing more so on that. We never got into personal development ideologies, but it could have gone there for like a part two.
I mean, on its face, like none of this is necessarily a bad thing. Like, I think where it gets murky is you don't know who's running these like workshops.
Right.
And they're not run by psychologists or like psychiatrists or I don't think, to my knowledge, you have to be certified as a therapist even or trained as a therapist to like run a landmark forum. But what they're doing is like purportedly therapeutic. So you can go there and then uncover something or share something that you are probably maybe not ready to uncover or share, and then end up having like trauma from that situation. And you're not in a place with people who are actually trained to help you deal with that. And so I think that that's what happened to like, that has definitely happened to me at Cascade. And like, I think that happened to probably many kids that were going through that, where it's like you uncover all this shit or you like think you've uncovered
and
something.
And you're left to deal.
Yeah. And then you're just all of a sudden back out in the real world after however many years that you've been away. And you're just like, I now have a whole new set of like pain. Mm-hmm. And how do I like manage this pain? And then if you're like a strong person and you have like a good safety net or the resources, maybe you're able to handle that and like figure it out. But if you have other underlying problems like addiction issues or self-harm issues or really bad depression, like you can be setting yourself up for a really dark, bad situation.
And then I think where the criticism for Cafe Gratitude comes in is it's like, okay, great. They've incorporated some practices from Landmark into how they run day-to-day operations for their restaurant. But then they started requiring staff members to attend Landmark Forum sessions. And then the accusations were that if you refused to or you questioned it, then you weren't able to move up within the company.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because you're being essentially forced to do something that you don't necessarily want to do in order to like keep your position.
Right. And these methodologies are intense. Like the Landmark Forum, it's intense, deep work that it is totally fine if that's not something you want to get into. That's also your restaurant job.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to be as like a waiter or a waitress, wait staff. You don't really need to go and like talk about your core trauma to like do that job.
And I love a personal growth seminar. Like I will do.
I'm down, but I don't like being forced to do things that I don't want to do or being asked to do things. Like I'm thinking back to even like Catholic school or the nuns are like, you have to memorize like this piece of the Bible. I was like, why? Like this sucks. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And like that kind of thing, I don't think that's great. What happened to trust falls? And like ropes courses.
Let's just all have a group meal and trust fall.
Right.
And call it a day. So that is really where the Cafe Gratitude Landmark Forum cult discourse all sort of like came into play. I think they ended up rebranding their Bay Area location because of the bad press.
Yeah, I think that was the one where people were getting like really up in arms about everything.
Yeah. But I actually just got the Cafe Gratitude cookbook and I can't wait to read it.
We're gratitude strong.
Yeah.
I give them, you know, it's B plus.
Yeah, this isn't that treacherous to me, but I think it's just like good to know that that this is on the internet.
Yeah. It's also like if you're applying to work at a place called Cafe Gratitude, that's like whole thing is you have to order with affirmations. And then you're like shocked that they're also trying to make you do some like kooky self-help thing. You kind of need to maybe get a new job
about
how much, how important it is to move up in the structure of this.
I am giving this a B. So, okay. Now are we back to yoga?
We're back to yoga once again.
Oh man.
The yoga never ends.
Never. Okay. So Anusara yoga. Another form of alignment-focused yoga known as Anusara, which is a style of Hatha yoga. It combines heart-oriented, spirituality-inspiring philosophy with a detailed therapeutic alignment-focused methodology. But the Anusara yoga community was rocked by scandal in 2012 when there were allegations of sexual and financial misconduct, tale as old as time at this point, that were made against John Friend, who was the founder. So he was accused of exploiting his position for personal gain, having inappropriate relationships with students, and manipulating the Anusara pension fund. This led to a mass exodus of senior Anusara teachers and precipitated a deep crisis in the Anusara community. Friend resigned as head of the organization. But basically, too, though, if we need to get a little bit deeper into these allegations, because they were like sort of wild.
Looking at this Anusara picture, it looks pretty much like any other yoga to me.
Yeah, it's regular, run of the mill. So basically, John Friend, who founded Anusara, was then also led a Wiccan coven called the Blazing Solar Flames, whose members allegedly included female students, teachers, and employees. And basically, a tipster provided documentation that John Friend engaged in sexual relations with the women in the coven, including a letter that allegedly was written by him to a coven member with whom he had had sexual relations and described an alignment between Wicca and Anusara system of yoga. So he sort of...
He a bit walked so Keith Raniere could run. Anytime... your male guru of sorts is saying, like, I would love to create a very special group for you women. I think you should just be like, this is a little bit like, I'm going to wade, tread lightly in
it's
this.
It's definitely
space.
Like ears perked.
You're like, why though?
Must assess.
Mm-hmm. So apparently John wanted the members of his female coven to do their ritual in sexy underwear and kiss each other on the mouth with them.
You must wear sexy underwear.
I'm a bit like, you guys, how did you get from like doing yoga to being in a Wiccan coven, like doing rituals in your underwear?
The pipeline is short, I think.
You really haven't lived as a woman in this world until a man has told you to engage in like sex magic of some sort or suggested it.
John Friend, he ended up stepping down, rebranding. He's like teaching some sort of yoga in Colorado under like a different name, I believe.
Wow. And the Wiccans are mad about John Friend alleging that his practices of like underwear rituals and tongue kissing are Wiccan. And the Wiccans say, we refute this.
No, no.
I'm giving this like a C minus.
This is a blip on my radar. It seems like very back of hand, like standard yoga leader drama. But I'm still going to give it a D for downward don't.
I'm going to be a C minus for creative, but not creative enough.
Oh my God, John Friend, not a friend.
Not a friend to all. Okay, let's get into our next guru, James Arthur Ray, who was the leader of something called the Spiritual Warrior Retreat.
So I listened to a full episodic podcast about this particular scenario. And basically, James Arthur Ray was your like classic tale as old as time, handsome, motivational speaker slash author who got into the retreat game. Again, I think one of those things that could go either way where people are either just like down for the experience or they're like lost and just like looking for somebody to tell them which way is up. And James seemed to be that for a lot of people. And this retreat was called the Spiritual Warrior Retreat, and it took place in Sedona, Arizona. And it was known for their sweat lodges. So during the retreat, participants were asked to fast. There was sleep deprivation, and then there was this sweat lodge. And unfortunately, three people passed away, and many got really, really sick during this sweat lodge experience. And he ended up getting charged with 3 counts of manslaughter for the deaths of those who participated. And he went to prison for 2 years. But I think, like, from what I remember from the podcast, is that this had almost happened many times. So this sweat lodge experience was known for like pushing people past their limit. And it got hairy like a few times before this got really, really bad. And people died inside.
That's so dark.
It's so sad.
I'm immediately taken back to a place of last season of Real Housewives of Orange County, where there was a real sweat lodge come to Jesus moment. And I kind of laughed, but now it all makes sense.
Didn't Emily have like a spiritual awakening, and then one of the other girls like had a full blown panic attack?
Emily had a spiritual awakening. Noella literally like had to be resuscitated.
That's right.
And Gina was just kind of in the middle of both of them being like, what the fuck is going on? It actually is one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. It's just so funny.
For being COVID era reality TV, it served.
Mm-hmm. It really did. Because
those were tough times.
I just am really sus about sweat lodges in general. I feel like unless you're with like a Native American person who knows what the fuck they're doing, I think white people certain types of white people like love a sweat lodge moment and they love to like host them. And I'm like, I don't really want anything to do with this.
I've never done like a sweat lodge. I've been asked. Very committed to an infrared sauna and I'm good in that lane. I give this one.
This is an F.
Yeah. Sad.
Really sad. Let's move on to Jamie Gomez.
Let's move on. So currently on Netflix, you guys might have seen, there is a multi-part series called How to Become a Cult Leader. And they talk about this guy, Jamie Gomez, and his cult was called, or I guess his group was called Buddha Field. And I just need to say something quickly about this true crime series. Is it's my least favorite kind. I hate when there is like animation involved. It's basically animation meets like talking heads interviews. And I don't like my, it's like my brain doesn't latch on.
And it's like silly, sarcastic documentary style. Yeah, I don't like that either.
But they talk about this guy, Jamie Gomez, who also had a few other names.
I'll recommend a really good documentary if you want to know more about Jamie Gomez and Buddha Field is Holy Hell. Yeah.
Right. Which was directed by a former member of that cult, which was a cult based in West Hollywood. So ground zero right here.
I love that. I loved certain elements of what they would do. Like, wouldn't they all stand in like a river together and just like vibe? Yeah. It seemed nice. At first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was founded in the 1980s. The leader was Michael Rostand, who then went by Andreas, who also, his original name was Jamie Gomez. He had tried to be an actor, model, taught theater for a while. None of that really panned out, but where he really found his calling was that of enlightened spiritual guru, which I love. I love a sad acting resume turned spiritual guru. It's just a great pipeline. So Buddha Field was like super into meditation, yoga, dance, communal living, the main four. Tale as old as time at this point. But what also was like a main tenet of manipulative control and having people leave their former lives and devote themselves entirely to this way of being. And there was like some psychological manipulation, a little bit of emotional dependency, some isolation from the outside world to keep people devoted. Like it was really, it's old hat.
Jamie Gomez, a.k.a. Andreas, a.k.a. Michael. Was that Michelle? I like that he
tried a few.
He was known as Michelle Andreas, the teacher, or Reggie, but his original name was Jamie Gomez, king shit. He also was known to wear just briefs and eyeliner.
Cute.
That's cute. So he would like transfer power to his followers with his finger, right?
Yeah.
He would like touch them and then they would feel like enlightened.
Forcefully touch their third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then their eyes were closed and they were like, I just would see this like crazy bright light. And it turned out that he had one of those like keychain flashlights that he was clicking on when he touched their third eye, so that it was essentially when their eyes were closed, they thought they were having some sort of like intense third eye opening spiritual awakening. And instead it was a flashlight grip.
It's like a laser pointer. This is also just teaching me that people will really believe what they want to believe.
Yes.
Then, like every other cult leader that is a male, he had a lot of allegations against him, sexual abuse of his male followers. He, I guess, encouraged everyone to do hypnotherapy sessions, and then he would like use that information against them, which is very Scientology of him. And he used the AIDS crisis to instill fear in his gay followers to get them to stay. So he does get points for like starting a gay cult, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so they went to Texas in 1992 and then they moved to Oahu. And
he lives in Hawaii. He faced no criminal charges. But I think that's also probably because he was being accused of I think that has to do with like being in the gay world or like a gay leader. Allegations of abuse against other gay men, I think,
aren't taken seriously.
Yeah, probably at that time.
That makes sense.
And I mean, even still, if you think about it, like what gay men have been like implicated in Me Too, and have they faced any consequences at all? Not really. No. I give Butterfield a B+. Carved out its niche into gay society.
I like that it started as local. I think that that's nice. I think I'm giving this a C of just like classic California. Okay, now we're at...
we're nearing the end of our list.
I've got a personal fave coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Teal Swan. YouTube Teal Swan, sensation.
My queen. I'm in the Justice for Teal camp. I think that she is a freak off the leash, but I love that about her and I want her to stay winning.
Teal came up via YouTube doing these meditations and sort of like trauma therapy style videos and gained a massive, massive online following from her. She has this like aura about her that just works in the personal development, self-help, healing arts. Like you're just sort of like...
she's a penetrating gaze.
Mm-hmm.
She's very attractive and kind of has like a weird voice a bit. And I think she's doing a lot of neuro-linguistic programming in her videos. So she kind of is like hypnotizing you and sucking you in. It's a little bit like word salad gobbledygook, but at the same time, you're like, hey, watching a YouTube video is like a pretty harmless thing. And if she's like teaching you how to empower yourself to like become more abundant, then like, what's the harm in clicking play? Teal, like many gurus, offers paid retreats or like self-help, I guess, like workshops. And she has like speaking event, like paid speaking events all over the world, probably. And she's gotten a lot of heat because she has a pretty controversial approach to
suicide,
where she basically like tells people who are suicidal to imagine what it would be like to commit suicide. And I think people get really mad about that for good reason. But at the same time, I think that there's like a lot of taboo around suicide. And like, it is such an ugly, scary topic that people don't want to talk about it. Like they get really black and white about ways of dealing with like suicidal ideations or suicidal thoughts.
And her lane is in the trauma space. Like she really, her audience is that of those who've dealt with deep trauma, because she herself has spoken very openly about the trauma that she experienced as a child.
There is also though controversy around her own claims of trauma, because she was part of, I think she saw the therapist that was like kind of responsible for Satanic Panic. So people have accused this therapist that Teal was working with of like implanting memories in patients. Basically, like during Satanic Panic, people would see this therapist and then she, all these kids that she saw would be like, I was abused and in sex rituals. And it was like turned out to not be true. And I think that that is like, Teal exists in this landmark forum-y gray area where it's not someone that's qualified by like, she's not a doctor, she's not trained, but is offering like trauma therapy to people. And she's also
based
been
off of her own trauma experience.
Yeah, but her own trauma experience may or may not actually be true.
There was a docuseries on Hulu called The Deep End.
It seemed like many of these people that are in her orbit who are like helping her run her business and stuff seem like really weak and victimized by the world around them and in need of someone to like help them. And I think she does have a God complex.
That's what I was just going to get to.
But then I'm also like not mad at her. I'm like, go off.
She has. Like, go off. She's, again, it factor. But one thing that was really evident in the edit of the docuseries was her ego. And it, when somebody asked her who her teacher was, she lost her mind on them. Because basically the whole concept was that of like, okay, like we're all looking to you. Who do you look to? And her answer was like, I don't need to look at it to anyone, bitch. I'm Teal Swan. And it was just like, there was just a lack of humility and like the opposite of staying humble that was like so evident that it just did not look good.
Yeah. But I will say, I don't think her personal brand has ever been like humble queen.
No.
So like, but it's also like, I don't think that she understands like what is bad about what she's doing. I don't think that she's like, oh yeah, now I'm going to like manipulate these people into like coming up with their traumas because it makes me money and like, haha. Like, I don't think she thinks that she's grifting. I think she's just like living very truthfully to herself.
Yeah.
So that all tracks, because I think someone who is grifting, if like a fucking camera crew from like Lifetime is around you documenting and you want to keep the grift alive, you're going to be like manipulating and like not showing your ass, so to speak, on television.
She, where I'm with you on that, she did come off as extremely manipulative to the people that worked for her. Mm-hmm. And in particular, the guy who handles all her video, who's like been with her from day one. And once his girlfriend turned wife got into the mix, she got super territorial. And I thought it was just funny to see this sort of like leader in the healing space just fucking lose it as soon as she felt challenged and felt like she was getting like kicked off the main spot in this man's life. It was actually so fascinating to watch.
It was like watching reality TV. It was like better than Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. And then I left the docuseries thinking like, why did she agree to do this? Because this was not a good look. And then she put out multiple videos on her YouTube channel refuting a lot of what was laid out in the docuseries. And one thing that was really interesting is, yes, she's painted sort of like a bad guy on the show. And she ended up posting in a video these birthday messages that the directors of the docuseries sent her. And these, they are truly telling her that she's so amazing. They're feeling so grateful to have the opportunity to tell her story and to work with her. And I don't know if this is, was it was them manipulating her to like feel comfortable around them, or if they truly like saw the footage and were like, actually, this is the story we're telling. It's unclear. But she claims that she was bamboozled and the victim of a terrible edit, and that nothing that we saw in this was based in truth.
I think both things can be true. I don't believe in the bad edit. Like,
I do.
Really?
Well,
oh, I guess. Yeah, true, true, true.
Happened to a friend.
God. Okay.
So well, I do believe in it.
Yeah.
But I think when you're there doing a docuseries around you as the sole subject of this multi-part show, if you're so intuitive and so tapped into people's like feelings and thoughts as she claims to be, how come you're not like understanding that this could go that way?
That's why I think that she doesn't get it. I think that she's just doing her and like creating her own reality. I don't think her intent is to grift or take advantage of people. Yeah. I think her intentions are actually really pure, but like they're completely misinformed.
She scares me and I'm intrigued by her at the same time.
I want nothing to do with any of those workshops. I'm like, truly can't think of a worse nightmare than to be trapped in a room of all those freaks. Sorry for them. And I'm sorry what they've been through. It's truly like, I'm not going to read all that, but I'm sorry if it's bad. It's bad. And congrats if it's good to all of them. But like, I pray that she does a season 2. I'm like, and I feel like she kind of is like someone that would be like, well, I got to do another season now to show them.
Once you do reality once, you're there
she
forever.
She should do a second season.
Get her on Bravo.
She's too dark for Bravo.
Peacock.
The brand alignment.
Honestly, the only place for it is Hulu because there's
a Lifetime original on Hulu was the right.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was Lifetime and then also Hulu. Yeah,
I was like, just this like is,
just
that's
like the Wendy Williams documentary.
But I need to revisit her YouTube. I have like some research to do.
Yeah, no, it's. Oh, I mean, she gets millions of views. She's really like up there in terms of.
She hasn't been deplatformed, so like.
There's something.
I hope that no one is getting really hurt by her teachings or like whatever is getting unearthed. Like, I hope they're able to deal with it. But I'm also like, if you're in this day and age letting a YouTuber be your like North Star, sorry, doll. Like, that's a little bit on you're walking yourself into like a bad sitch.
Exactly. I'm going to give her a B for Bib.
I'm going to give her a B plus in hopes that I want her to keep doing her. I don't want like anything bad to like befall anyone involved. We'll never not be haunted by the sequence of her like former lover leaving only to discover that his fish had died and then having to like bury his fish on the side of the road. I was like, this is deserves like a Peabody Award or something.
The show was so good.
It was one of the best pieces of television I'd ever seen. It honestly deserved an Emmy nomination.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Please come back for season two.
Yes, Teal.
Okay, this brings us to our very last wellness cult. We would be remiss to not include
the big one.
NXIVM, the multi-level marketing company turned female branding enslavement group.
Classic.
You wouldn't think that the pipeline exists, but then somehow it makes perfect sense.
It really does. So I think we all watched, I feel like Nishtas watched this doc.
We all watched season one, only the real heads.
Season two.
Like me, watch season two.
Oh, of course.
You watch season two.
Of course.
Some challenging television.
I'm a real Salzman apologist. So in 1998, Keith Raniere and Nancy Salzman basically founded this self-improvement organization that they branded as Executive Success Programs. And Nancy Salzman was the one who had the education around structuring these types of programs. And Keith Raniere he was a dynamo. Like, he just had the thing that people took what he said as face value and that people were on board.
These people were snake oil salesmen. They literally just like created like PDFs and like sold them. Like, that's essentially what it was.
And then they turned them into centers.
Yeah. And then they were like, no, you pay us now. And like, you can work your way upward in our like PDF college. And we'll give you like a ribbon every time you like graduate to a new level.
It was like a sash.
Yeah. They loved like a sash reward.
So this was a combination of psychology, hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, and it was designed to help people overcome their limitations, achieve their goals. It's really like back of hand standard, like work on yourself.
But who were the crazy thing to me is like the people who loved NXIVM the most and got the most out of it, their goals just became to like be more involved with NXIVM. It wasn't like they went on to then be like amazing like thought leaders or like entrepreneurs or like the president of the United States.
Well, that's the makings of a great cult, is when you empower everybody but all they want to do is be more enmeshed within the organization.
I know. Keith was a dynamo.
He had it factor.
The thing about Keith is that I'm dying to chat with him. That's another dark truth of mine, is that I ride hard for Keith. Do I think he's a good guy? Obviously, no. But like, I truly am like, would he be able to like work his magic on me? And the answer is probably yes. So it's a good thing that he's in jail for life. But like, I would love to have a conversation with him.
I would be too afraid to, because I feel like I would somehow just like the magic would work and I'd be like, so I guess I'm moving to Albany.
Honestly, I already feel like I'm in conversation with him and whatever he's doing has worked, because I think of him quite often.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I just am like, I think for a certain type of woman, he like, and by that I mean like a woman with daddy issues, he like really scratches that itch. I think it's like a him and Father Yod thing.
Mm-hmm.
Father Yod, far less sinister. But like, yeah, I think it was just like women with like issues around men and like trust. Like he's just kind of that. He fits right in.
And where Father Yod is giving sort of like Jesus-y energy, Keith gives off like tech bro.
Yeah.
It's just like a different thing, but from the same cloth.
Like
there's like that, just like it's so ego driven, and there's, he's not hot, but he's like,
but he is though, in
there's
a way.
Hotness to it in it's, a way that I wish I didn't see.
It's short, but king, I see it. Energy.
Very short king.
Father God is like tall, broad-shouldered, buff daddy, like gym daddy. And then Keith is like short king with like a huge
at the volleyball dog.
Yeah.
The volleyball,
the volleyball is where it loses me, and I'm like, I actually like can't get down. That was like, I think would be the boner killer for
his
me.
Late night volleyball is like his sweat lodge.
That's a no. That I can't. I really am like anti-volleyball, and like I think volleyball really brings out the worst in people.
So we had the facade of this massive self-help group. Then within that, we had DOS, which was Dominus Obsequius Sororium, Latin for master over slave women, which was revealed to be a system of sex trafficking and forced labor. The women in DOS, called slaves, were just, I like how they're just like, we're the slaves.
The thing is like when someone comes to you and they're like, well, it actually was a brilliant way of getting people in, right? Because they're like, I want to tell you about this thing, but like, I can't tell you about it unless you provide me with some sort of like leverage. So like, you're already, you have a lot of sashes. You're very
sashed up.
NXIVM committed. You're like, my goal is only to be more in NXIVM. And then like Allison Mack, your best friend, comes to you and is like, I really want you to know about this.
But CW like, star.
Yeah. And then they get you to give leverage, and then they tell you, oh, it's called DOS, which then you find out what it stands for. And by that time, you're like, well, I've already given you like weird sexual leverage. And then you're telling me this thing. Like, it's really, they knew exactly how to like suck people in more. Because if they told you about DOS and you hadn't given leverage, you'd be like, what the fuck? I'm like, not gonna Dominus Obsequius Soror, like literally female slaves, like no thanks.
It's savvy.
And like the neurolinguistic programming element of it all is very fascinating to me. I have like some NLP books on my Amazon wish list because I was just like, I need to know more about this. But yeah, DOS turned out to be really bad.
They were... The news really broke about this whole situation when the story around the branding.
Once you're really in DOS, then you would get to go to like a ceremony where you had to like get naked, and then someone branded you with like a sigil, I guess, yeah, like down by your genitals. And then it turned out after one woman had been branded, she was like looking at it from a certain angle and realized it was Keith Raniere and Allison Mack's initials.
Sinister.
I'm like, you guys, like it always comes back to being like so egocentric that you couldn't just be like, I'm gonna do a little eagle, but like you and I, it's like the lightning bolt for Raquel and Sandoval. Pick like a star or something, or a frog.
In hindsight, your initials, not the best move when in
But you want to keep something
the court
secret.
Of law.
Yeah, you should not ever put your initials as a brand on someone who you refer to as your slave. I think that that's just like baseline.
Also, at this point, they all had to like, it was also a little bit like All In by Teddy vibes. They had to like text each other what they were eating and they really weren't allowed to eat that much. And it was...
Keith ran a tight ship when it came to diet and exercise. And as someone that sometimes struggles with my own boundaries around that, I would appreciate like to have a text person.
What was even crazier in part two of that is when to see like there was, other than Doss, there was a lot way more sinister stuff happening with like immigrants coming over to be part of NXIVM and illegally so. And it was just like, it got very scary.
Yeah, it got really fucked up too with like Keith grooming teenagers. And it's like the sex pests always have to take things like one step further. You can't just be happy when you have like a group of female slaves. You have to like also fuck teens. And it's like, can't you just be happy with what you
Let
have
the chips
already?
Fall where they may.
I know. So that I don't love.
No, the whole thing is like truly just like a house of cards.
But it's also like such dork energy all around to be like, what I really need to do. It's like nothing about it is sexy or attractive to me, being like, I want to go to a nondescript office building in Albany where I'm going to take a class about betterment. And then I'm going to finally get access to all these PDFs and documents. And then I'm going to also try and do this class. It's like very like office, like corporate jargon cult. But then people were all in and playing volleyball. It's just so weird and dorky.
It's because people crave community.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. And I understand when on the baseline, it's just like, oh, here's how to like do better in your career. Or here how to zone in on your goals. And it's just such like surface level baseline tapping into just like the needs of humans. And I think it was they were all, you know, bonded in this way under this teaching method. But then it just like really took a turn. And Keith was fucking everybody.
There was not a single person that he had not plowed.
Except for Nancy Salzman. But she
fucked once, right?
They did?
I thought that
I might have missed that, but he fucked both of her daughters.
I know. The second part of the documentary, the second season, I truly was like, this is one of the most haunting things I've ever seen. Someone coming to terms with their own. Like, I was like, I hope to never be
also
in Nancy's situation. That,
yeah, this poor woman who had a long-standing career and then he brought her in because of her
cachet.
Exactly. And then she devoted like 20 plus years of this, and then this was all going on behind her back. I mean, it's tragic. And she had a fucking ankle monitor on and didn't have anything to do with it, allegedly.
So she says, I think that it's the kind of thing where you might turn a blind eye, or you hear rumors, but you're just like out of sight, out of mind. I don't think that she had absolutely no idea, but I do think that she like, you watch her come to terms with like all the mistakes that she's made in her life. And you realize that this woman at like however old she is, how old is she, like 60 something, has to live like her. She's now in hell. Like her living day to day is hell. She'll never work again. She'll never have like the only kind of job that she could possibly have is like minimum wage labor. She's like brought her offspring into this world. Like it's just like so sick and fucked up.
Truly so fucked up. And it's all because this guy has like
was horny.
Horny. And he gave off vibes and people liked it.
I don't know if he could have been as like successful at fucking if he wasn't the leader of NXIVM. He's kind of just like some mid short volleyball loving loser if you take the NXIVM out of it.
It's true.
But then you put the NXIVM into it and it's like Vanguard.
That's what they called him.
I know.
which is like a whole, like, he's like, call me Vanguard. Like, what? I don't like it.
I'd love to have a phone call with Vanguard. Yeah,
I think you could.
I honestly also think that I kind of could. It's dangerous.
Playing with fire.
I want nothing to do with his PDFs, but I would like to know.
Okay, NXIVM was wild. I think if anybody hasn't seen the second part of the documentary, you should.
Yeah.
But
I'm giving NXIVM.
It goes there.
I'm giving it honestly an A plus because it had so many.
It had Hollywood. It had a trial. It had
so many layers, elements, and we got to see it all play out in real time. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a season 3?
I don't know.
He's in like hardcore prison now for the rest of his life.
Shouldn't have you put your initials?
I know. That's what makes me think we could never talk because I don't know how like much freedom he has with like a phone call.
Allison Mack was just released early. Good for her.
She's really done the like full about face. Raquel, take note.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm just for entertainment purposes and because no one was killed.
Yeah. Okay.
Although, well, I mean, his wives, he... Well, there is Frank, the guy who writes that, who devoted his life to writing the anti-NXIVM blog, has alleged that some people have been like killed. It's fascinating. And for that, I give it an A plus.
I'm going to give it a D for Love Dominus.
I'd encourage more women to just start their own groups.
Yeah, I think a lot of this, if Nancy had the balls to go off on her own.
She could start, I think, reach out to some NXIVM people and get like a thing going. I actually don't know, though. That might be part of like a plea deal or like some sort of sentencing that you're not allowed to like work in that space anymore.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say that they would probably.
So put those sashes in storage and keep on moving.
Make some PDFs and sell them online or like self-publish some ebooks on Amazon or something.
There you go.
Under a pen name.
Start a Patreon.
Get on TikTok and get your algorithm to start feeding you like side hustle videos. And I think she'll be able to figure something out.
Wow, what a haul. I'm feeling like a little red-pilled, blue-pilled.
Now I'm thinking about Vanguard again. I'm back in a place that I haven't been in a long time.
You're horny. Well, you could always write him a letter. Start there.
Yeah, this is like a toxic space for me to be in whilst ovulating. So we've got to call this haul a day.
Call it a wrap. But there's so many more cults and people with godlike complexes to continue to haul. So I feel like there's more to come on this topic.
For sure.
Thank you guys so much for listening. What's your favorite wellness cult leader? Please weigh in. In the comments, if you're listening on Spotify, because you can send us little cute comments now.
I love that.
Technology.
And until next time.
Stay niche.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you loved today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.